You're listening to the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Each week, you'll hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war. People who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Americans for Truth Hour will help you to stay informed and engaged on the side of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with us as we work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill. And once again, one nation under God. And now, here's Peter LaBarbera.
Well, welcome back, everybody, to Americans for Truth Hour. I'm Pete LaBarbera with Americans for Truth About Homosexuality. I'm here with my good friend John Kirkwood, Grace Gospel Fellowship Church in Bensonville, Illinois. And John, we've had a long hiatus
here. The boys are back in town.
We've had a hiatus from the show, the podcast, but we're starting up again.
And look at how bad the country has gotten since we've taken that hiatus, Peter.
Yeah,
you know what? Evil doesn't take a sabbatical. Why did you?
It did not take a sabbatical. In fact, I think three states have embraced homosexuality.
Is it 12 now? 12 total?
It's 12 states. Three more states have embraced homosexuality-based marriage, so-called, which is just unbelievable.
I didn't want to give the impression that Peter's lazy or took time off. We just took time off from the Raiders. He's one of the busiest guys I know. He's been working hard.
Well, you know what? We are looking at some potential radio stations that we might be able to get on. And so things are happening here. Yeah. But life goes on. And John, a lot has been going on. I'm excited to say that our guest today, his name is Stephen Graham from a group called Standard of Liberty. We're going to be talking about the Boy Scouts.
Did you say Standard of Liberty?
Yeah, the proposed capitulation of the Boy Scouts to allow openly homosexual Boy Scouts. Incredible proposition that we have here. But we're also going to be talking about the Mormon Church, of which Steve is a member, actually pulling back on the issue of homosexuality and even so-called same-sex marriage, of which the Mormon Church was a leading,
the leading in California.
They were the leading force supporting proposals to shore up same-sex marriage.
Wait 1 minute. I think we need to consider something. The big news right now, folks, and my latest column at Clash Daily is going to be about the scandals in the Obama administration. But I think I'm going to ask Steve about this. I think I kind of know why maybe the Mormons are backing off this, because it's just been released that the IRS sharing of documents actually listed the names of donors to particular. And one of the big things in this fight, you know this, Pete, some people like to keep their names out of the mainstream so their lives aren't ruined and they're not boycotted and so forth. And I wonder how prominent a role that played in the Mormon Church maybe backing down.
Yeah, well,
after Prop 8,
they went
after the Mormons like crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Now let me just say, first of all, yeah, absolutely, John. In fact, the homosexual activists have known this this weakness, potential weakness in our side, because they've been working at listing supporters of all measures. You know, like there was a case in Washington State, I believe, other cases, Maine, where they want to list people. In other words, they want to intimidate people from doing anything to slow down the homosexual juggernaut. And that's one of their tactics. And personally, I wish people would just have the guts to do that. But, you know, people are easily intimidated, especially now in our culture where there's this political correctness that's rampant, where everybody's afraid to judge anything as wrong. You know, the idea of right and wrong seem to be going by the wayside. I hope that changes, John. But that's, the culture we live in enhances that kind of a strategy by the gay lobby. I want to say one more thing too, and Steve and I have talked about this, you know, and I think we need to be adults here. John, we're Christian, we're born again Christians, both of us, and we have a theological disagreement with Mormonism. Steve knows that, and Mormons have a theological disagreement with us, but as I've written about, you know, Mormonism we believe is outside biblical Christianity.
Well, you know, here's the thing that we run into with our
co-belligerents on this issue. That's what we are.
And you know, that's the point with this issue. I mean, it's like the abortion issue. The Catholics lead the way on the abortion issue, and we have differences with them as well. But
this guy
on this issue, there's no differences. Well, I mean, there's people of faith that do come together and have been on the right side of history in this issue recently.
And that's just the thing. And Steve is one of those guys. And I think people who get it on the homosexual issue, there's a camaraderie because there's so many people who don't care to even tackle the issue. But Steve is a guy who's been working hard. Steve and his wife, Janice Graham, they have this ministry, Standard of Liberty. They have done tremendous work on this homosexual issue. And the what we're going to be talking about, which is basically the Mormon Church pulling back, it puts a guy like Steve in an awkward place because he came at this. What we're going to be, and why don't we just bring Steve on the line right now? Steve, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, there you are. And I was going to say, Steve, this is very interesting because among a lot of evangelicals, I think there's almost been a guilty sense. Because presupposing what we've talked about, that, for a long time, evangelicals have not considered Mormonism part of Orthodox Christianity. On this culture war issue of homosexuality, there's been a recognition that the Mormon Church has done tremendous work fighting to preserve the age-old definition of marriage. And yet now we're going to be talking about this pullback, and it puts somebody like you in a very awkward position.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate. It puts me in a little bit of an awkward position relative to being a member of the church, but this is more important than my being a Mormon, this eternal truth of sexuality being misused or Satan coming along and convincing people that what's wrong is right, what's right is wrong. That's more important to me than the cultural aspects of my church membership. So I'll go for it.
Yeah, let's get a little background. Steve, you and your wife Janice organized this Standard of Liberty in 2005. You have a publishing company called Tidal Wave Books. You're also a CPA. You're a busy guy. You're based in. Are you in Salt Lake City?
Well, it's 40 miles south of Salt Lake City in a little town called Pleasant Grove.
Pleasant Grove, okay. And now, why don't you give us some background? Because me and you were talking about where this started. First of all, when did you notice that the Mormon Church, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, had started pulling back? Was it when the Salt Lake City, was it after Prop 8? They did all this great work on Prop 8. A lot of funding for this measure came out of the Mormon Church. And was it the hostile reaction of not just the homosexual activists, but the liberal left and media against the Mormon Church? Is that when we started seeing a pullback?
Well, it seems like that's when it started. And one thing you got to know, remember that the Mormon Church is a proselyting church. We've got an extensive and well-organized missionary program that's worldwide. And one of the things the church loves to have is good publicity and, people thinking well of the Mormon Church so that the missionaries have a chance to visit with people and tell them about it. Well, you know, the bad publicity that came out about the church, and I guess it was considered bad because people disagreed with the church's involvement or encouraging its members to get involved. If you want to call that bad publicity, I think it's, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Mm-hmm. And so if someone says, I'm accusing you of standing for, marriage between a man and a woman, okay, I'll take that. But to them, it must have seemed like bad publicity. And so it felt like after that, they started pulling back. And here's an example. There's a group of gays and lesbians that got on a bus and headed across the country called Equality Ride. they showed up at BYU and wanted to go on campus and have, as they always say, dialogue with the students. And we called BYU and said, listen, these people are not going to obey your rules. They're going to proselytize on BYU's campus. Brigham Young University is owned by the Mormon Church. And they said, no, they know our rules, and we're just going to let them after all. You know, they're not hurting anything. Right after that, BYU made the first of a number of changes to its honor code. One thing about BYU is when you come to BYU, you promise to abide by this honor code. And among other things, it says, you know, no sex before marriage. And back in those days, it said, you know, no advocating or no even coming out as gay. Mm-hmm. And BYU, after the equality
Well, hold on one sec, Steve, because coming out as quote-unquote gay, in other words, an open and proud homosexual, is an act of activism itself.
Well, that's what I believe.
Yes.
But according to the Mormon Church, and then we're getting off on a tangent, I'll come back. According to the Mormon Church, there are two aspects of homosexuality. One is acting on it, and that generally is seen to just be in a sexual way. And the other thing is to have a same-sex attraction. And they say the same-sex attraction is not a sin unless you act on it.
Mm-hmm.
But isn't openly advocating acting on that same-sex attraction?
Well, insofar as it's saying this is a normal... this is who I am. You're redefining. You're taking aberrant sexual behavior and you're calling it a positive identity. Sure,
and identifying yourself by it.
Yes, yeah. Yes. You are essentially advocating for the mainstreaming of a sin. We got to get out. We got a break here, Steve. And we're with Steve Graham from a ministry called Standard of Liberty. We'll be right back after the break. Welcome back to the Americans for Truth Hour. We're talking to Steve Graham, who is an activist in Utah. He's a member of the Mormon Church, and what we're talking about is the Mormon Church pulling back on its stalwart opposition to homosexuality. Steve, you're talking about BYU, and it's interesting. I remember when I've been doing this a long time, opposing the homosexual lobby. I remember we used to say, why weren't more colleges like BYU where you actually... If you said you were a homosexual or you were caught practicing homosexual behavior, you were ousted. So what year did that actually change?
It started changing in 2010.
Okay.
And they changed by degrees, but the way it used to be was you couldn't identify as gay or homosexual, and obviously you couldn't act in a sexual way on that homosexuality. But now what they've done is taken all of that out. I mean, you couldn't even, if you advocated for homosexuality, you were subject to the discipline of the school. You could either be suspended or put on probation, or they could even expel you from the school. But they've taken all of that out. Mm. Now, the only thing that's against the honor code relative to homosexuality anymore is acting out in a sexual way.
Right.
So that's one of the places where I've seen the pullback.
So are there now like so-called gay student groups at BYU?
Well, in fact, there is. It's the initials are USGA. It's Understanding Same Gender Attraction. See, there's this thing in the Mormon Church. I like to say, you know, the church doesn't like to talk about sex, and if you put homo in front of it, they really don't want to talk about it.
Uh-huh.
And so instead of calling it homosexuality or same-sex attraction, they like to call it a same-gender attraction. It just softens it down so people just don't feel so threatened by this evil thing that's going on.
Right.
And so there's this little group of students that got started in about 2010 or 11 after they softened down on the honor code at Brigham Young University. And they, whereas they're not officially... sponsored by the school, they were given a classroom in the school to have their weekly meetings. And the whole purpose of the group is for homosexually attracted BYU students or other interested people to come and meet and talk about how it's just perfectly fine to be same-sex attracted as long as you're not, as they say, acting on it.
Yeah, now we're going to get to this, Steve, but, you know, this incrementalism, which we've seen so many times, John, doesn't this sound a lot like what the Boy Scouts are going to be doing? Mm. We can now have openly gay Boy Scouts, but they can't act out. That's wrong, right?
Yep. I just think that the idea of this so-called compromise is actually, you know, a Trojan horse. I think it's the same idea that they had behind civil unions.
Yeah.
I don't think that they're going to stop after that. I think they're going to push and quickly for, because their argument will be, you know, why can't a concerned father who happens to be a homosexual join with him and his son and help his troop? And there won't be an argument against it once they allow openly homosexual.
I mean, Steve,
you're exactly right.
Yeah. This is exactly what we've seen throughout the whole history of homosexual activism.
And the thing is, the Mormon Church is a third of all of the Boy Scout troops in the country. So they're by far the largest single participant in the Boy Scouts. And why they can't take a firm stand against this is beyond me. I'm not a leader in the church, and so it's not my place
to make
those calls.
The question is, we're jumping ahead, and I do want to get to the, and we may have to do a second interview with Steve, because this is, really, there's two issues here, of course, folks. There's the Boy Scouts. This is a tremendous, if the Boy Scouts capitulate to homosexuality, allowing open homosexual scouts, it is one of the greatest losses of our movement, because they won that right through the Supreme Court, as we all know, in a 5-4 decision, Dale versus the Boy Scouts. But there's the second issue here is Mormonism. People assume that the Mormon Church is conservative on social issues, and this pullback, basically starting down that road of it starts with a dialogue, like you were saying, Steve. Dialogue leads to, it seems like whenever there's the dialogue, negotiations between homosexual activists and people once considered opponents of homosexual activists, it seems to me, you guys, that we always back up. The homosexual activists always move forward. And that's what's happened in the Mormon Church, right, Steve?
Right. It's the word dialogue is code. It's like tolerance. It's just code word for you give in to me.
Right.
And you have to accept my out of God's bounds ideas, and I don't have to accept your in God's bounds ideas.
Now, Steve, and, the Prop 8, explain, I mean, literally, churches were physically attacked in the Prop 8. Give us some background, and then that was the incredible intimidation from Prop 8 is why the Mormons, is that the main reason the Mormons started backing up, or were they backing up even before that happened?
That seems to be when the backing up was noticeably taking place. They were softening on it as early as 1995 when you could read articles in church magazines or whatever talking about how it's not a sin to be same-sex attracted. You just can't act out sexually with your body on it. But the noticeable change started happening in 2008. And yes, there was some vandalism and in San Francisco, in the Bay Area, over in the Oakland side, after that vote came down, and there were a lot of members of the church who had children or relatives or friends who said they were gay, and they were frustrated by the church's efforts. There were meetings in different church meetings on Sundays where people were allowed to get up and say they're so frustrated with the church for supporting Prop 8, and I'm a member of the church and I don't support Prop 8, the person would say. And so why can't we just have the church back off from this? And those were meetings that were held under the auspices of that local church. church organization. So it was.
Yeah, and Steve, let's be clear, and I have a Mother Jones article I want to be talking to you about, but the Mormon church can be very hierarchical, and there was literally millions of dollars from Mormon church attendee members given to support Prop 8, and folks, Prop 8 protected the age-old definition of marriage in California. It's part of the long legal battle over marriage. Homosexual marriage in California. Prop 8 was an amendment to restore the traditional definition of marriage. It has now been overturned by a homosexual activist judge, and it's before the Supreme Court. In fact, next month in June, we will hear the results of that. The Supreme Court is going to be ruling on Prop 8, and there's a possibility that the court will uphold actually taking the vote away from the people. And even though the people of California define marriage as one man, one woman, we could lose that in California. But the LDS Church, many members gave sizable contributions to help that effort. Right, Steve?
Yes, that's right. The church encouraged people to do that. And that was the majority of the money that was contributed in the name of the Mormon Church. You know, the church itself didn't contribute any, much if any, to that, but encouraged its members to. In fact, I even went to a meeting one evening as they were leading up to that Prop 8 that was designed for college students, but I went to listen to what they were saying, and they were encouraging the students to get to contribute and to send out emails, and it didn't matter where they were from. They said, send to everybody that you know in California, and if you're in California, get involved. And so they were really after that Prop 8.
Yeah, and you know, this article in Mother Jones, which of course is pro-homosexual, but they're happy. It's the title of it is How the Mormons Ensured Victory for Gay Marriage, and it's talking about how the Mormons have pulled out of the gay marriage debate. But let me read one paragraph. And there, it says, if nothing else, this is an article in Mother Jones, it's a left-wing magazine. It's dated May 10th, 2013 by Stephanie Mensimer. It says, if nothing else, the movement against gay marriage has lost a significant source of cash. In March, the Huffington Post reported that a scant 16 Utah residents, they're talking about have donated to a current same-sex marriage battles. This would have been Maryland. We had the battle in Minnesota, Washington. And she's talking about how very little money was given to those. But she said, back in 2008, more than 800 Utah residents gave $2.7 million to support Prop 8. That's extraordinary, Stephen. And so when you say they encouraged, let's just understand it. You know, in most evangelical churches, I know, John, you would love it in your church if you could stand up and say, hey, let's give such and such. But it's much more hierarchical in the Mormon church. Correct me if I'm wrong, Stephen, but when they were asked to give, many people gave. It's explain how it works. It's more of a top-down. When the leaders tell them to do something, it gets done. Is that accurate?
Yes, generally speaking, you're right. It's a hierarchical organization with the president of the church, who is currently Thomas S. Monson, leading the church, and then there's other leaders that go down, and everybody reports up. And when the leadership of the church speaks, people listen, and they get motivated. The church doesn't even have to say, we wish you would do this. All they have to do is say, we're in favor of something, and people's minds will change.
Okay, let's get right back to that after the break. We're talking to Steve Graham from Standard of Liberty, based in Utah.
Are you sick and tired of homosexuality and gay marriage being celebrated by the liberal media and popular culture? Do you worry about the radical gay agenda being pushed on young children in schools? Are you worried that the gay movement will destroy America's religious freedoms? And are you offended that Christians are called bigots and homophobes just because they agree with God that homosexual behavior is wrong? Americans for Truth About Homosexuality is a single-issue group devoted to exposing and fighting the gay agenda. They are not about hate, but love for God's truth. They are Christians, so instead of celebrating homosexuality, they lift up the many ex-gays who have left it behind and now lead godly lives through Christ. But Americans for Truth needs your help. The gay lobby has lots of money, power, and media support, but it lacks truth. Please help keep this show on the air and educate America about the dangerous goals of this anti-Christian movement. Make your tax-deductible gift online today at AmericansForTruth.com. That's AmericansForTruth.com.
Well, folks, welcome back. We're talking to Steve Graham here from Standard of Liberty, which is a group based in Pleasant Grove, Utah. And Steve has done a lot of good work fighting the homosexual activist movement. Now, Steve, this is very interesting, and this really will interest a lot of evangelical Christians, too, who, as I said earlier, you know, they regard Mormonism as outside of evangelical Christianity, and I believe it is myself, but everybody acknowledges the tremendous work that the Mormon Church has done in protecting marriage. And you're talking about this top-down structure. Now, you had told me at one point, well, we had a phone conversation the other day, and you said a good illustration of this is when the Mormon Church decided to back a sexual orientation, which is a quote-unquote gay rights measure in Salt Lake City. And before and after the Mormon Church changed position, the leadership on that. Could you go over that?
Sure. Salt Lake City, whereas it's the headquarters of the Mormon Church, has become a more and more liberal city as more non-members move in. Salt Lake City is less than 50% Mormon, whereas the whole state is more than 70% Mormon. So there are liberals running the Salt Lake City government. They decided that they had to have a couple of ordinances that gave protection to gays and lesbians on employment and housing. And, you know, other people were saying, you know, why do you have to have special rights for gays and lesbians? You know, they don't match any of those other things for being a minority group. But the point is, it was not getting any traction until the night that they were going to have the vote. The church sent a representative down there. The Mormon Church sent a representative down to the Salt Lake City Council and supported the Salt Lake City ordinances, and they passed. But the interesting thing is, like a week before the Salt Lake City ordinance vote, there was a survey taken, and 67% of the people were against gay and lesbian special rights. About a week after the church sent the person down there to support the gay and lesbian ordinances in Salt Lake City, another poll was taken, and it had just flipped. And now, 67% of the people were in favor of the special privileges for gays and lesbians. It's something that's... And so the church didn't say, we're telling the members of the church what to think. They just sent the person down there and said, we support this. They did it, and, you know, behind the scenes is the church sent the person down there because they were promised that the church and its other entities that it might own, like businesses, radio and television, newspapers and things, they would also be exempt from this. If it was touched by the Mormon Church, it was exempt from the ordinance.
Yeah. So this is essentially what's happened with the Boy Scouts. The church has now, the LDS church, the Mormon church, has come in and they actually spoke out now, and they said they're pleased with this so-called compromise. Talk about that, Steve.
Sure. The Mormon church and a lot of other groups that sponsor a lot of these troops in the Boy Scouts have representation on the Boy Scout committees, and they have their influence, but they couldn't stop the Boy Scouts coming out with this proposed change. And so,
well, hold off right there, Steve. The first time, let's give it a little background. The Boy Scouts at first decided they were not going to change anything. They even put out a whole report on it. Then they started getting pressured by homosexual activists using corporations, pressuring corporations to deny funding to the Scouts. The Boy Scout Executive Council, which had members which were essentially homosexual advocates, for example, like the CEO of of AT&T. I can't remember his name, John. Rogers, I think. They had advocates at the top, CEOs, and they were afraid of losing the money. So then the Boy Scouts suddenly shocked everybody, said, we're gonna consider changing the policy. They actually said they were going to change it, and including allowing openly homosexual scoutmasters, adults, in whatever localities would accept them. In other words, they were going to leave it up to the local councils. After there was the huge blowback in the conservative movement, Christians and everybody reacting, conservatives saying, that's crazy. They pressured the scouts, and the scouts said, okay, we'll put it up to a vote. Now, suddenly, a few weeks ago, they came out with another supposed compromise, which says no adult homosexuals, just members. Okay, so now talk about what the Mormons did.
Yeah, so the Mormon Church, you know, I kept saying publicly and in private meetings or whatever, why doesn't the Mormon Church just come out and say, like the Baptists did, we're against this, and let's stick with the values. But no, finally the Mormon Church came out with a very, very carefully worded statement that said, you know, we're satisfied with the process that they've gone through. We look forward to working with the Scouts in the future. But perception is reality, and the perception was the Mormon Church approves of the Boy Scouts' compromise position. And I've heard that amongst many members of the Mormon Church. They said, well, the church came out in favor of it. So what's wrong with it? And so very clever the way the thing was worded so that they can say, no, we didn't say we were in favor of it. We're just satisfied that the Boy Scouts have done a good job. But
Steve,
when the Mormon Church says something that's perceived as approval, the members of the church, having been taught this thing that's, you can put this in quotes, follow the brethren. Mm-hmm. They think the brethren have said, gays and scouts is okay. We've got to follow the brethren because we believe they're inspired of the Lord. So
the brethren being the leadership of the LDS Church.
Yeah, that's right. The top councils of the church.
Steve, in your opinion, if the Boy Scouts do pass this resolution and it becomes official, I know there's probably many Catholic churches that are going to drop their affiliation. In your opinion, will any of the Mormon churches do that, or will they follow the lead of the leadership?
What the institutional church, the leadership of the church, decides to do with Boy Scouts is what every single troop in the Mormon Church Boy Scouts movement will do. If the church stays with it, all of the troops will stay with it that are in the Mormon Church. The Mormon Church's congregations are called wards, and every ward has a Boy Scout troop. If the church says we're staying with, the institutional church says we're staying with the Boy Scouts, then the individual wards are not authorized to leave the Boy Scouts.
They will
all stay.
Is it your understanding that you believe that will be the case?
I believe no matter what the Boy Scouts decide, that the Mormon Church will stay with the Boy Scouts.
Mm.
If they decide to do this compromised proposal, the Mormon Church, in my opinion, will stay.
But Steve, what is happening with the lobbying? There's a council vote, so how will the Scout councils that are Mormon-affiliated, how do you see them voting? Or will they all vote in a block for the compromise? Or how do you see that playing out?
Well, before the church came out with its position of being satisfied with what the Boy Scouts are going through to reach their vote, before that, in the newspaper, in the Salt Lake Tribune, there was an article, and they said the Great Salt Lake Council of the Boy Scouts said they had polled their members, and 80% of the people were against the proposed changes. Then they were going to meet. Then the church comes out with its satisfied statement. They met again, and the reports that came out of that meeting was that they just told the people, vote your conscience. And so there wasn't anything about whether people had changed their minds or what people were thinking. It was just, we've decided to let people vote their conscience and not make any recommendations like we did before. This is the Scout Council talk.
Okay, so I'm trying to understand this. You said it was a very carefully worded statement. So is that to offer them plausible deniability? They can say that, well, we didn't go along with it, but actually the way it's understood, their opposition. I mean, they didn't do what the Baptist did. The Baptist, John, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't the Baptist come out and say, if the policy is changed in any way from the current policy, the Baptist will no longer sponsor Boy Scouts?
I don't know the exact wording, but that sounds like a good prayer for us.
So, Steve, what you're saying, if you were in charge, you would have simply done what the Baptist did, and that would have probably sealed, this is the tragedy of it, that would have sealed the vote. If the Mormons came out strong against any changes, it's likely the policy would not have been changed. Will not change.
That would have sealed it if they had done that. But they didn't. They just came out with a statement that said nothing, actually. You know, it didn't, it's not in favor of the proposal, and it's not against the proposal. They said, oh yeah, this is a particular situation, and the Boy Scouts have really done a lot of work on this.
they've done a lot of work. The Boy Scouts are nuts, and they're going to kill their own organization. How have you responded to this? What entreaties have you made within the Mormon Church? How are you and your wife and your organization? How are you? Are you educating people to vote their conscience, vote no? What are you doing?
Well, Standard of Liberty has come out in favor of turning down the proposal, and that the Boy Scouts stay with their traditional values. And so in private and public conversations, that's what we encourage people to do, vote down this proposal. And so we've sent out our email newsletters with things like that, encouraging people to do that. So that's the Standard of Liberty's position.
And how do you see it playing out among, let's just talk within the LDS circles relative to the Boy Scouts?
You know,
will there be more? Go ahead.
There are a lot of people that are concerned. For the first time, some people are feeling like they don't just automatically do what the church seems to be saying. You know, the church has got that plausible deniability. It's, no, that's not what we're saying. You know, you choose, you work it out between yourself and the Lord.
Right.
But
right. Steve, hold it there. We'll come right back for our final segment with Steve Graham. We're talking about the Boy Scouts of America and the Mormon Church. Folks, welcome back to our final segment with Steve Graham of Standard of Liberty, a Utah-based group. We're talking about the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormon Church, and the Boy Scouts. And little business before we go on, since this is our last segment, Americans for Truth, we've just got our new email design going out. We have website changes, some exciting things happening at Americans for Truth. You can check us out at americansfortruth.org. And John Kirkwood, my co-host here, is pastor of Grace Gospel Fellowship, a great church right near O'Hare Airport, and he does tremendous work himself. He's also a columnist for Clash Daily, so check him out at Clash Daily. He is probably one of the most politically incorrect pastors in America, which is a good thing.
Which pretty much means I'm faithful to the word.
All right, way to go, John.
Thank you.
We're the politically incorrect crowd here, and Steve, you're doing some tremendous work on this issue, and you've got a fight here. Now, I'm encouraged by what you said, that there is not necessarily going to be people saying, okay, I guess there's nothing wrong with, according to the church. I mean, the church is not speaking out as much, I'm talking about the Mormon church here, against openly homosexual Scouts. First of all, give us your thoughts on the insanity of allowing openly homosexual Boy Scouts in the Boy Scouts of America.
Well, you know, it's like, I remember a quote from C.S. Lewis, and I don't know if it's a quote, but it's a paraphrase. He says, if you're having to defend something that is naturally plausible or known, then you've gone down the wrong path. You know, if we're having to defend marriage, we've gone down the wrong path. And if we're having to defend being morally straight in the Boy Scouts, we've gone down the wrong path. I mean, the Scouts have always said sexual activity is outside the bounds of our rules. But and they've also said open and avowed homosexuals are not welcome. And that's what they're saying. Now, yeah, let's have open and avowed homosexuals. Well, how does that ever be virtuous?
Yes.
I mean, a person, who's the kid going to tent with? You know, I've got a lot of anecdotal evidence. I've talked to a lot of people. My next-door neighbor is the Boy Scoutmaster. He says, I'm going to have to quit as the Scoutmaster if they pass this thing. He says, because I'm going to have parents mad at me if... He says, not only am I personally against it, but the parents are going to be calling me up saying, don't let those gay kids be in the sleeping bags or in the tents with my son, because mm-hmm. they're afraid open and avowed homosexuals are going to come on to or talk up or, you know, advocate for whatever.
Because that's what they do, Steve. I mean,
yeah.
There's no more.
If you're open and avowed, that's what you're about. You're identifying yourself by a sexual perversion, whether you're participating in it or not. You're on the wrong track, and you're outside of God's bounds.
And we're talking about impressionable boys, and being around. I mean, just the idea of a boy coming in, affiliating himself with a sexual perversion. And saying somehow that that's now, of course, the Boy Scouts had to do the carefully worded resolution, correct? In fact, I was just reading, it's an excellent analysis of the, it's an open letter from John Stemberger, who's the head of the Florida Family Foundation down there. I might be getting the name wrong, but he's a great pro-family activist. You can get this at onmyhonor.net, onmyhonor.net. And, you know, he's talking about the Boy Scout language. They put some good language in the whereases of the resolution that they're going to be voting on, but he says Stemberger, point 9 of his open letter to the Boy Scouts says the whereas clause in the resolution clauses are always symbolic, and they're not really legally binding, and so the Scouts knew that they have to say, oh no, we're not going to allow sexual activity. Everything's going to be the same, but when you allow people to be open advocates and identify with a sin, morally wrong behavior, homosexual behavior, you're essentially advocating for the behavior.
Correct. And one of the hallmarks, or one of the recognizable, I don't know what I'm trying to say, one of the things about homosexuality is deception and lies. And so if a person says, the thing that matters more to them than anything else is getting in there so that they can subvert the whole organization and get God out of there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If they have to lie, cheat, steal, deceive, whatever they have to do, they will. And so you can bet there's going to be a lot of kids now coming out and saying, oh yeah, I'm openly gay. I'm avowing to be homosexual. But no, I won't act on it. It doesn't matter to them what they say. They're going to act on it, and that's
right.
All there is to it.
Well, you know, lies and deception have been part of the homosexual movement from the beginning. I mean, for goodness sake, the leader, Harry Hay, who is a communist, one of the first organizers, and he's also pro-NAMBLA, the late Harry Hay, the first meetings for his group, the Mattachine Society, a homosexual activist group, he was married. He was sneaking around on his married wife. If that's not a symbolic beginning of this homosexual, this sin movement that calls itself gay, I mean, and of course you're going to see this is just an incremental step. The next step will be, oh well, these great gay Boy Scouts, they got their Eagle Scout. Now you're telling them they can't be Boy Scout leaders. Mm-hmm. Have you ever known the homosexual movement to stop and say, oh, that's
sure.
all we want?
Sure.
I mean, like John was saying, civil unions, as Matt Barber said. You give them an inch, they'll take a mile. You give them a mile, they'll take the final inch. The final inch is civil unions to so-called same-sex marriage.
Yep.
The
yep.
whole movement moves forward this way, Steve, and that's exactly what's going to happen right here with the Boy Scouts.
That's my fear.
It won't stay.
And yeah. even if it doesn't pass this time, it's going to come up again and again mm-hmm. and again until it does pass.
Mm-hmm. It won't yeah. stop with same-sex marriage either. They won't stop until we bow to the golden idol. Correct. They will want to make all religious institutions bow to the golden idol.
Well, yeah.
Or they'll put us in the furnace.
Yeah, well, look at the homosexual activists trying to ban reparative therapy. Change therapy for
California.
In California now, New Jersey, they're trying everywhere, which is how they the name,
Canadian Supreme Court.
The banning hate speech in Canada. I mean, you know, this is not a movement to be trusted. And Steve, okay, so
you don't sit down at the table with the devil and start negotiating.
Mm-hmm. Well, Steve, on the Mormon Church, though, I want to come back to this now. This is extraordinary to me. I was not aware I was aware that the Mormon Church was backing up on the issue of homosexuality. Everybody assumed that they had been intimidated, although, it's sad to see it because a lot of people, again, were applauding the Mormon Church for all they had done on these marriage initiatives. And we're talking about giving hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars over the years to these various amendments to protect the definition of marriage between one man and one woman. Now we see not only are they backing up on that, they have not given to the most recent round of battles, electoral battles over marriage. Is that correct, Steve? The Mormon Church did not get involved in those.
That's my understanding, and that's what I gather from reading newspaper articles, not only local, but national. And so they really damaged the movement by not continuing to participate. If they had encouraged people to participate at the level that they were doing in Proposition 8, I don't think those votes would have gone the way they have.
Yeah, it's sort of like it's the gift that stopped giving, and Christians got dependent on the Mormons. And I say, first of all, shame on the evangelical Christians. I mean, come on, why didn't you step in and save marriage? But then they got dependent on the Mormons. Wow, look at all the good work. And then now the gay activists, as they always do, you know, first they even got violent in some instances, but they protested, and people get people just don't want to they don't want to be harassed by homosexual activists, John. That's the and homosexual activists know that, and so they use it. The Mormon Church now is worried about its reputation. Now they pull back, and then look, these...
No, that's the friendly way to say it. They don't want to get harassed by homosexual activists. The truth is they don't want to be faithful to their faith system.
Yeah.
Yeah, and why not? I mean, who is it that you're trying to please here anyway? I mean, I know eventually I'm going to die, and I'm going to face God in it, and He's going to say, so you were afraid of the bad publicity and you didn't stand up for me?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, man.
Well, you know, we only have a couple minutes left. I just want to get you both on the record. What would your advice be to the scout leader or the parent of a scout if they adopt this resolution?
My advice, if it were me in that position, I've got to resign. In fact, I have. I am one of the merit badge counselors in our local ward Boy Scout troop, and I called the Scout committee chairman the other day and resigned as a merit badge counselor.
Mm. Yeah,
I can't be involved anymore. The vote hasn't even been taken, mm-hmm. but the position, the backing off and everything that they're even considering, is enough for me to have to disassociate myself.
And that's what Kirkwood, that's what John, you said in your Clash Daily piece, the same thing. Yeah, it's despicable, actually. And the worst of it is they had fought so hard. They won at the Supreme Court in a 5-4 vote. And then to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory, the Boy Scouts, is just astonishing. But let's remember.
Inconceivable.
Yeah, let's remember, folks, after the Boy Scouts, and this is the a little teaching moment on how the difference between the pro-family and the homosexual movements. After a lot of times when pro-family people lose, what do? Oh, man, that's terrible. Let's move on to the next defeat. After the homosexual lobby lost in the Supreme Court and the Boy Scouts, what did they do? They stepped up a national campaign to harass the Boy Scouts, to kick them off of any public facility, such as Balboa Park in San Diego, where the Scouts had actually improved the park. They used the park. They it became a meeting ground every year. You know, they made substantial improvements to the park, And the homosexual lobby, I think working with the atheists, kick them off there, because we can't have any government endorsement of this discriminatory organization. The homosexual activists are always on offense. The pro-family movement is always on defense, which is why we're losing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, it's like a virus that adapts to the different, what's the word I'm looking for?
Well, it's always changing. It's always doing what it has to.
Antibiotics, yeah. But here's the problem. Here's the problem. They think that was the victory. That wasn't the victory. That was only the first step winning in the Supreme Court. Like this vote. Let's say we win this vote, okay? That's the first shot in the battle. The next thing is to get these two guys off the board, to send, what is it, Randall?
Yeah, and
Randall
I had the wrong name. Thanks.
To have an actual movement where you kick these guys off the board, and then whatever companies you lose, AT&T or what else, you actively pursue getting Chick-fil-A or Interstate Battery or Hobby Lobby to fill up that money gap and actually bring back a fight for virtue and honor in the Scouts. Imagine that.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. And why haven't any corporations come? I mean, I got to say, I'm disappointed in Chick-fil-A. All the goodwill that Chick-fil-A got from all the people across the country. John, you were there. We were there. We waited hours for our chicken sandwiches. But Chick-fil-A, this is an opportunity. Step up. Say, hey, I'll replace AT&T. We'll replace any monies that are lost to the Scouts because of their virtuous stand, and we'll give a donation ourselves. We'll make that up. The PR move of the century for Chick-fil-A. Am I wrong?
It would have been good with one exception. They might not know something that we don't. They might know it's already a done deal or something like that, and they're not going to go out and put their neck out if it's not going to change.
In other words, why bet on the Scouts right now with their leadership? Steve, exactly. What do you think? Should Chick-fil-A have stepped up?
I would hope they or somebody had, you know, before it got to this point. You know, when the guy from AT&T is up there, oh, yeah, we're going to pull our funds. Right then is when they come out and say, well, then we'll replace them.
Yeah.
Then, you know, not now. Don't wait till now when it,
And Steve, the reality is you could have people from your church, the Mormon church, businessmen could have come in and said that. We could have Christians, this is your opportunity to come in and say, we will make up any losses from these pro-homosexual corporations that are seeking to intimidate the Scouts into submission. We're going to have to end it at there, Steve.
One comment before you end. Look, if the brethren of your church, Steve, and the Catholic bishops would have gotten together, that's about two-thirds of all the Scouts, and they would have gotten together in a joint press conference and says, this will be the death of the Scouts, and we're going to start something new if you pass this. This wouldn't even be an issue right now. But the fact is, the silence, the deafening silence, and the retraction and the retreat has signaled that they're going to pass this resolution.
Right.
It's very disappointing to many in my association in the church.
All right, Steve. Well, listen, we're going to have you back next week.
Okay.
Thank you, Steve, again, for coming on the show. You can reach Steve Graham at standardofliberty.org. That's standardofliberty.org. You can reach us at americansfortruth.com or .org, americansfortruth.com. The big vote, we should have said earlier, is next week in Texas on the Boy Scouts. Thank you.